Hello, this is Esperanza Ray, and welcome to New Consciousness, New World. It's again Tuesday at 3 o'clock, and I'm going to provide you with the call-in numbers if you would like to participate in the show. It's not mandatory, but you're welcome to call if you'd like to add something to what we're talking about, or if we are, you know, you'd like to share an experience that's relevant. You're welcome to do so. There is an 800 number for the U.S. and Canada, which is 888-627-6008. Again, 888-627-6008. You can also call on the local number 530-327-7602. And you're also welcome to dial in through the your phone by calling 760-569-7676. The access code would be 534355. You can also go on to bbsradio.com and click on Station 1, BBS Station 1, and we'll bring up the information for the number so that you can call in. You can also Skype in if you'd like. And let's get started. I have a surprise for you. I have a guest with us. Well, he's actually my associate, Morgan Patterson, and he'll be talking, you know, introducing himself in a minute or two. I wanted to briefly just say that the show is going to continue on what we discussed last week, which was the Thrive. I was going a little fast because I was trying to finish the information that I had in 1 hour. However, I find that the information is so important and relevant to the show that I thought we would continue along those lines. So let me first introduce you to my associate, Morgan Patterson, and let's talk a little bit about his background and what he does. Would you like to go ahead and start?
Hello, everyone. My name is Morgan. I've been working with Esperanza for about 8-9 years now in the spiritual arts, and as you know, as she's, I'm sure, already told you, that it's our goal to bring a new consciousness to a new world. So what do we have for today, Esperanza?
Well, we have, I'd like you to talk a little bit about your background. For example, I know you have extensive training in spiritual work. So could you tell us a little bit about what your training consists of and what you've done just in the spiritual arena? Then we'll cover some other areas of your
sure.
Background.
Yeah, I've been training the spiritual arts at a very young age. I've learned from some great master teachers all over this country and even some internationally known ones. And I've been trained in just about every healing modality that's been invented, I would say. But I've been doing healing work with Esperanza for quite a long time, and we use all of our skills together when we do our sessions, and it gives a pretty well-balanced healing that can pretty much tackle any problem.
So you've done, for example, past life regression, exorcisms,
mm-hmm.
energy work, quantum healing, and so on, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, great. One of the other things I was curious about, what would you say was one of the most important methodologies of spirituality that you had learned? Is there one that, or two, or maybe even three that excel over the others? Because you said you had several, so I was curious about that.
Well, yeah, like I said, it's a combination usually. And like you mentioned, first of regression, whether that be to a problem in this life, in the past, or in another life, in your past. And when a person has an issue, once that can be energized, they can locate it in time and be taken there to view it and to actually go ahead and change that and cleanse it from them, to change the past, to change the present. So, I mean, that can seem like a miraculous healing, but it's really just a natural fact of changing the past.
And I know from experience you're very gifted at that.
Yeah, I've been doing that for quite some time. And, you know, along with the regression, of course, you use the quantum healing to locate the frequency and the vibration of the energy that you're dealing with. And then to go ahead and change it, that is a quantum effect that is occurring. And, you know, I mean, that all expands after you learn Reiki. That can be a good foundation for then going and doing more advanced things. And then, along with some stuff that I've learned from you, the remote viewing, you know, that can be done to help lead a person. If they're having trouble finding it, you can go ahead and find it for them, find the problem. Mm-hmm. And that, of course, increases your intuition a great deal, and you'll know if what you're receiving is true or coming from something else, like your ego, something that could fool you. You'll be able to confirm whether or not what you're doing is the right thing.
So basically, you're tuning into the energy field, and you can actually detect sometimes abnormalities before they actually occur, because you're detecting at a level that the energy vibration is where all things happen before they actually manifest at a physical level, correct?
Absolutely. So you can even go into the future with it, not just the past.
Right. Okay, great. I know you're also a very gifted musician, and especially a martial artist. You've done 11 years of military training, karate, Shorin-Ryu.
Yeah, Shorin-Ryu is Okinawan military style
training. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, it was developed back when the Japanese clan, the Satsuma clan, invaded Okinawa and took all their weapons away from them. And all they had left was their hands and their farm implements, so they developed the first karate directly out of the kung fu that the monks, the Buddhist monks, had brought to Okinawa from China, the Shaolin monks, so it comes straight from that. So it's the oldest karate, and it's not pretty or, you know, a sport. It's really just for fighting people that have weapons and armor when you don't have anything.
Yeah, defending yourself, basically, in tough situations.
Yeah, it's a very violent art, I would have to say.
And your music abilities, I know you write poetry, so obviously that goes hand in hand with music, and you also play several instruments.
Yeah, I play the piano. I've been classically trained in the piano, and I've played most of the brass instruments and the wood instruments. And really the only thing that I have a lot of problems with is the strings, and I think that stems from the martial arts, and my fingers just don't bend in those ways.
Yes. That, it makes it a little difficult when you develop, especially when you've had your fingers broken a few times, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, how about if we now talk a little bit or continue our conversation? I know you have seen the movie, The Thrive, and I was talking last week with our audience about that. Specifically, I had touched up on the code aspect of it, and I try to fly through the follow the money, but given the fact that it's such an important topic, and it's so, it affects every single person on this planet because we're all impacted by it one way or another, directly or indirectly, and I just thought that we needed to really maybe discuss it in a little bit more detail. So the fact that you're on here, I know that you have knowledge of a lot of things, that the finance aspect of things, just, I'm more technical, but the financial aspect is something that sometimes I feel not too comfortable discussing. But I have to say, in the movie, the way they discussed it was so clear and so concrete and so specific with such great example that it was very easy to follow, even for me. So
yeah, they really bring to light exactly how the banks lend your money out and how they make so much more of it based on, what was it, a 9-to-1 ratio?
Yeah. And you know, I know in the past you had talked to me about, and we had talked with each other about a lot of these things were going on, but I felt like I had bits and pieces. And I feel that this just put it all together in a perfect picture.
Yeah, it basically shows how the banks are given the right to print more money based on how much you deposit with them.
Yeah. But what is more interesting is that this goes up further up the line. It's not just the banks. There's actually a very not extremely complex, but a fairly complex chain of command, a hierarchy that goes beyond what most of us really understand, because I had always thought of the government as the top guy on the planet. Of course, beyond that, the physical plane, it would be God. But I was like dumbfounded when I found out that that's not exactly the way things are, and that there is a hierarchy, and the government's almost, you know, just one step above the normal person like you and me.
Yeah, and one of the biggest illusions about it, I think, is that the Federal Reserve is not actually federal. You know, like the Bank of America is not a federal or government institute. It's just called the Bank of America, and the Federal Reserve is just called the Federal Reserve. And, yeah, it's where the government puts their money and backs their money, but now there's nothing behind it, and there really is no connection whatsoever of our government to our money now. It's all based on this private bank.
What I found very interesting is that these people don't follow the same rules that the rest of the planet does. The people at the top, they call the all-seeing eye, which are the family elites, the financial elites. And I understand that in the United States, it's controlled by five organizations, which are families and companies incorporated, per se, and that they basically, these five companies, it went from 50 companies controlling the financial world in the United States specifically, and then it ended up in the last 20 years going down to five, which is a dramatic change and a dramatic centralization of power.
Yeah. And what are those companies?
Well, the companies are Shell, Exxon, Chase, Goldman Sachs, BP Oil, Bank of America, just to name a few. But
is Bank of America a new one?
Bank of America, no, it's not. And even though in the list I did not mention Wells Fargo is part of it. I did want to mention to the viewers very quickly that I was able to put on the website, and they're welcome to go onto the website, researchcia.com. Under community, there is a newsletter, and in the newsletter, which will be going out shortly, by the way, if anybody wants to register for it, please do so, and we will be able to send you out a copy of the newsletter, which will contain a link to the actual article. Since you guys have the advantage of being online and listening, you're welcome to go to Research CIA, again, under Community Newsletter, and then under Newsletter there is two articles and Thrive Movie, and you can follow along the conversation. We're in the section that says Follow the Money, and even though the first listing, and this is a lot of the information that I got from the movie itself. Even though this is a partial list, there is a right underneath it, there is an actual pyramid type, which actually mentions all of the organizations. So I'm going to briefly go, for those who are not online and cannot access the information or would just like to listen, there is the all-seeing eye, which is at the very top. And those are the financial families. They right beneath it, the next level down is the financial elite, the central banks of central banks for international settlement. Directly underneath that, we have the international central banks, which are the IMF and the World Bank. And these are banks that are supposed to help other countries to develop, special third world countries, and a lot of times there have been, you know, protests because they use their power to manipulate and sometimes influence politics as well, or other aspects of a country.
Well, yeah, I think that their main goal is when they go in there and try to build, you know, a new colony for people to live in, basically, is what it is. That's the IMF and the World Bank trying to bring in the rest of this hierarchy below them to every country that they can.
Making sure we all fit in the little pegs, the square pegs.
That's right.
Yeah. Directly beneath that, we have the big banks, which are Citi, Chase, Bank of America, Goldman Sachs, Wells Fargo, HSBC. These banks get their money from the major banks, which we just mentioned, the IMF and the World Bank.
So these are the actual banks that would be opening up in their countries.
Right, and these are the major banks, well, that I know in the United States. For example, I'm originally from Spain, so I know that we have different banks there, but they all belong to the same, you know, they all follow the same hierarchy, regardless of the country.
Yeah, I think that the other banks now, that they are all pretty much joint, so they just have different names in other countries.
And that brings up another interesting aspect, because when they're talking about some of the solutions, which I won't touch on very much because I'd like you to get that out of the movie. I'd like you to take the initiative, the audience, to and the listeners to go ahead and listen to the movie. It's 2 hours and 12 minutes. It's worth every second of your time that you're sitting there listening to it. Now, a lot of this may seem hard to believe, and that's just what makes it very plausible, because of the fact that the bigger the lie, the more people believe it. So going back to the Citi, Chase, Bank of America, and Goldman Sachs and all that, one of the solutions that they provide to decentralize this power through the banks is to basically deposit our money in the smaller banks, like BT, for example, or one of the local banks, especially the credit unions. Now, this is the one I don't completely understand. And if we have an official showing and these people from the Thrive are able to participate in our showing, which they do travel the country and do, I would like them to answer, because the federal or the credit unions, they're directly supported by the Federal Reserve. So it just seems a little strange that we would want to put our money in those kind of organizations that are strongly supporting the bank, the larger banks, but then I don't know of anything else that is not supporting the banks in one way or another.
Yeah, I really don't think that you can put your money anywhere that it's not going to be under the same rules. I mean, they set the same rules for every bank, pretty much. You've got two different kinds. You have a regular bank or you have a credit union, and yeah, the credit unions offer a slightly better rate on some things, and they give you some benefits, but it's still under the same rules of loans and interest rates, so I don't know where else you could put it.
The only way I could see as it being a benefit by putting it through the credit unions and the smaller banks is because you're in a way decentralizing a little bit. You're not giving the direct control to the banks, to the larger banks themselves. You're kind of putting them here and there. That's the only advantage I can see for trying to
address. Yeah, because their company themselves isn't gaining profit off of it. They're just paying their employees modest salaries compared to what the bigger banks pay their CEOs.
Yeah, that's right. And next level down the line, I don't know if you're able to see if you have the access to the pyramid that I'm discussing at this point, the corporations, or what they call the corporatocracy. I thought this was I had a trouble pronouncing that word the first few times. I had to repeat
the
it
corporatocracy.
And so we have, would you like to mention some of these?
Um, What do we have here? We have Exxon, we have Exxon, which used to be Standard Oil, and that's owned by the Rockefellers. And we have Shell and Halliburton and Pfizer. We have
the first
the big
one,
news
Ishii.
Corporations.
Uh-huh.
And Monsanto.
Monsanto is actually involved in a lot of things besides just the oil, but that would be true for most of these. Anything that has to do with energy would be part of it. I'm trying to figure out the first one, Eschatee. It's a very unusual name. I've never heard of it before, but
yeah,
not heard of Pfizer either, so whatever.
That's a pharmaceutical company.
Yeah. These organizations control, interesting enough, this is what threw me for a loop, control the government. To do so, it must have access to the cheap money. In other words, government has to have access to money, and they control the government because they have the money. So who has the money has the power, and who has the power controls who's underneath. And I always thought that the government was regulating all of this, and it turns out it's just the other way around.
That's right, because what's right beneath them, government.
Yeah.
Right below the corporatocracy. And that's basically something that the corporatocracy, we think we elect our government, and maybe, you know, we do elect the officials that stand there in the room and make the laws, but it's this corporatocracy that makes basically all the rules that they have to follow of the world, and they're not going to go outside the box that's set for them because they're given a monopoly on force, and we have to pay them whether we agree or not. So
there's nothing we can do about that. Not only that, but they are basically, they have no control and no power, no way of regulating or creating policy to guide, direct, or somehow protect the people from these organizations. They're kind of up there doing their thing.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the people, the planet, and all living things is at the bottom of the pyramid, which is very sad.
Yeah.
I think I need to crawl up to the top a little bit somehow. Okay. So basically, then we have some of the organizations. We have the Rockefellers. Obviously, they do, like you said, they do own the ExxonMobil, and they control the food as well as through petroleum-based agriculture. That's how they, and they also control it through seedless agriculture.
Right. Yeah, and that started back when farms really became mechanized, and you no longer had small private farmers growing whatever was local to that area. So now they grow mass quantities of crops, and because of that, they use these massive sprays of fertilizer and pesticide, and all of those are made out of petroleum-based substances. So that's how it actually links the energy to your food.
Yeah, definitely. And not only that, but it makes us more and more dependent on these people. It makes us more and more dependent on the suppliers of the food chain because of the fact that we the people no longer have access to the seeds to plant. So we become more and more indentured as we constantly keep buying. So I think one thing we could all do is make sure that when we go to the grocery stores, we purchase products that are seed products that actually are natural and organic. It's great to eat grapes, for example. I hate finding seeds in grapes, but I tell you, I'm adapting and I'm changing my mentality because I feel it's important to be even aware of something so simple that we need to understand that it is important for us to not to lose control of our food supply because guess what? If you control the food supply, then you control the people.
Yeah, and some of those chemical companies that make those products with Exxon's oil are Cargill, DuPont, Bunge, Continental, and again, Monsanto.
Yeah.
And I have no idea how much extra money that really is for the oil companies.
Well, all these companies, they have all the money. I mean, their budget is $300 trillion. Huh. You know, what can they do with that? Just a few things, of course. So with all that, they create foundations which allow them to take more and more control of society, more and more control of our planet, more and control of our lives. That's really what it is. Because the money, they got plenty of that. What's next
right.
on the menu? Us.
Control, yeah. And what they told us when they started doing those massive farming, when they started the entire chain of massive farming that the government was then using for elections to promote the ending of hunger and health and stuff like that, and they never lived up to it. And we're still in the same boat that we were back then. I mean,
right. They, yes,
1 in 7 people
yes.
are still starving.
Absolutely, absolutely. Some of these organizations were supposed to address the food shortage and the hunger problems, and they've done nothing to alleviate that. If anything, they've actually increased it or helped to make it more so. And that's true also for medicine. I find this interesting that I know people are against, there's a lot of people in favor of the conspiracy theory and a lot of people against. I don't like to just push something aside because it's not a popular topic or listen to it because it's not a popular topic. I like to listen to see if what they have to say makes sense or if there's some relevancy. And one of the interesting things I find is the new colonization of humanity. This is an interesting paraphrase from Henry Kissinger in 1973. He says, "He who controls the food supply controls the people. Who controls the energy can control whole continents. Who controls money can control the world." Well, guess what, people? They pretty much have done that, okay? If they have $300 trillion as their budget, we're pretty much down at the bottom.
It sounds like this is the direct and exact reflection of what the state of the world is today.
But before we get caught up, in the fear factor, I do want to indicate that the best part of the movie is yet to be discussed, and a lot of that I'm leaving for our audience to go online because it provides solutions. It provides local organizations that are proactive in a peaceful, nonviolent manner to achieve results and transform our society. So I think that is so, so important. There are, you know, it talks about the different families. You have the Carnegies, you have the Fords. You have the Rockefellers, which we talked about, I'm sure the Vanderbilts, and so many other more organizations or families that control so many companies. And, you know, these organizations provide the financial means for our presidents who are elected. So, you know, there's certain obligation with the financial donations, like it or not. I mean, we have to be honest. There is a certain level of commitment when somebody votes for you. And not only votes for mm-hmm. you, but gives you the money. And that leaves us at the mercy of these organizations.
Yeah, it's hard to compete with someone like that.
Yeah. You are you familiar with Dave Icke?
A bit, yes.
Research author, The Biggest Secret. He also has interviewed
mm-hmm,
on
yeah.
there.
Yeah, I've read a couple of his books.
What would you like to, is there something that you would like to, which would be relevant to what we're discussing right now? Because I know he was also interviewed, and he talks about how little we know about the money when we take out, you know, the loan of 50. I think you were actually mentioning that earlier, that if you take a loan, for example, take a loan of $50,000 minimum or $100,000, what happens to our money? Is it there? I always thought that money would stay there in my little account because the computer tells me, especially now that we're in the electronic age and information age, it tells me my money is in my account.
Yeah, well, basically they just type that number in. The $50,000, then they type in $50,000. That money is not in their bank, you know, because those people, like, say they have a person that deposits $10,000, and then you have, how is it working?
Well, it's a fractional, I think they call it, they refer to it as a fractional reserve lending.
Right, so if $10,000 gets deposited, and then say someone comes in and needs a loan for a car, and they get $9,000 of your money. So now the person with the car takes their loan, pays for the car, and so that person that sold them the car redeposits that money into another bank or the same bank, which is in the same system. So it goes back into the bank for recirculation and for re-lending.
Over and over. God knows how many times.
That 90% of the money is always in circulation at all times, even though you only put in that $10,000.
And you wonder, the only way they were able to achieve this in the past, that was not possible because you actually traded gold. So,
right.
You know, whatever the value of gold was, that's what it was, and that's it. However, nowadays we have the paper dollar. We have, of course, now the plastic cards, which make it even more easy for us, and not only that, but we have to pay on the dollar. We didn't have to pay interest, but on the credit cards, we do. And not only that, we're lent more money, so we become more and more indentured until we're able to pay it off. And if we're able to pay it off, there are people who are not able to pay it off, and they lose their livelihood. I mean, this is actually one of the reasons I think that our economy is in such bad state. You know, these people can pull out the money because for them the rules are different. So they can go ahead and pull out the money.
And then, now you see it's basically correlating directly to the lifespan of the person that was born just when they started doing this. And now, at the end of their life, that person that's 80, 90 years old now, they're allowed to get a reverse mortgage, get all their money back from the bank, so it's back in circulation, but of course the house and the property, it doesn't get left to their children when they die, it goes back to the banks.
And worst case even is that you have to pay interest on that money.
Right, and that interest is going back to the banks. That money that goes back into circulation that you're going to spend is going to go back into the banks, so they know that they're not giving anything up by giving you that money. They're taking your house and your money.
Yeah. Now, this may be alien to our viewers, but I remember when I lived in the U.S. when I was a child, and then I went back to my home country, which was actually pretty good because my language skills were pathetic. So fortunately, I learned, and now I can speak several languages. But I remember after we moved back the second time, I didn't have a credit card to my name. I'd never used credit cards, which were used to paying with money or, you know, basically you put things on layaway and then you got your thing when you laid it away. And in some cases, people trust, you know, they could tell the kind of person you were, so they trusted you and they knew that you could, you know, they could give you the item that you were trying to purchase, the product, and that you would pay it, and you would, of course. But nowadays, we're almost treated with such lack of trust because everything is interest-based. And every single time that we go through the revolving door of the banks, we just come out more indentured.
And that further separates the classes because the people with less money are going to have to pay more interest.
Well,
and that's going to further keep them from ever having any.
Yeah, it's interesting you're saying that because I remember in the book, you know, Hope Reigns Beyond 2012, basically it talks about how the middle class is going to disappear if it hasn't already, well, not completely, but it's getting there. And this is very interesting that this information is coming from so many different directions, from different sources, but the information is very very similar, if not the same. So it's very interesting. Now,
and I think you can even see that happening around us now.
Yeah.
I mean, you hear about the economic collapse, but now you really see it happening. You see the for sale signs everywhere in your neighborhood. You see all the nice cars with for sale signs in them.
Yeah, but I found it funny because I remember when I was in junior high and in high school, I studied history, of course. And through history, you talked about the indentured servants, how a lot of people immigrated to the United States because they couldn't afford, you know, the passage. And so they became indentured servants. And then some of them would be able to pay it off in their lifetime, but some of them had such bad, owners that, or masters, as you could call them, that they never...
Employers, really, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. And so I was like, wow, that's really awful. But guess what? We're in the same freaking situation.
That's right. You just don't know who your owner is.
Well, we know it's somebody up there. We call it the
right.
Bank. It's really interesting.
They've just removed themselves completely from the picture, though, so that it's totally impersonal now.
You know, this is reminding me of going back to the Middle Ages, the landlords and the
tenant serf farming.
Yes, the tenants.
Every village would have serfs all around it that would have to pay all the rich people in the town and the government controllers in each town. So they would eat like kings and everyone else was starving.
And if we're lucky, some of us will be able to pay off our debt. And if we're not lucky, we can work very hard to do it and we will pay it off. In some cases, we will work very hard and not pay it off. That's the sad part. This is interesting quote from Henry Ford in 1922. It says, "It is well enough that people of the nation do not understand our banking and monetary system, for if they did, okay, this is interesting, I believe there would be a revolution before tomorrow morning." but that's not happening. I think people are having a really hard time believing that this is true.
It is hard for people to believe. If you talk to the average person about this, they're going to think you're a crackpot, you know?
Well, not only that, but they think that you're buying into the conspiracy theory. And this is what I find sad in a lot of cases. A lot of these people that are brushing off, you mention, oh, look, listen to this, it's about this, that, or the other. They say, oh, that's conspiracy theory. You can't really pay attention. I'm like, don't you think you at least should just listen and know what they're talking about? And then you can say, with an educated opinion, you can say, hey, they're totally messed up. Or, well, you know, some things do make sense, and you can see it in this, 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 and this. Or you can say, you know what, we're going to be messed up pretty soon, and we're going to be in very big trouble if we don't start doing something about it now. I mean, our environment is pretty messed up. So, I mean... What more?
Yeah, and I think what you were saying earlier about how it's all based on the level of mistrust now, or everything is interest-based, but I think that that's actually a mass brainwashing that's happening to our society right now. Everyone is paranoid and mistrusts everyone. So when they see everyone even saying that, oh, this terrible stuff is happening, and it's called a conspiracy theory, even if everyone's saying it, they still won't trust people with those ideas.
Okay.
And that's gotten down into...
That's true.
Yeah.
It's really hard to believe. I mean, it took me a bunch of years, and finally, and I had bits and pieces to go on, and it didn't make sense. Now, interesting enough, if you keep asking, the universe will provide you with an answer. So, interestingly enough, they have. And obviously, the purpose, what do you think the great purpose of this, what they're trying to do with the constant interest? I mean, I remember in my parents' time frame, they were able to buy a house, for example, and let's say I remember my dad making $14,000, which was not a lot, but when you compare to what a house, a good size house with five bedrooms, a really nice house, which today would be considered a $600,000 home, the house was $32,000. So if you had no other expenses, you could basically pay off the house in about 2 years, give a couple of months.
And now the house is worth 18 times that amount, but people aren't making 18 times that salary.
Well, let's say on the high end that a person is making an average of $100,000 to make on. I like round numbers; they're easy to work with.
They wish they were making that much.
Yeah. So, and now we buy a house which would be maybe not equivalent to that, or maybe it is $600,000. It takes you about six years. To basically pay it off. And inflation, you know, we don't realize how much inflation is affecting
us. As opposed to 2 to 3 years in the past.
And the reason is because these organizations can print money, the dollar devaluates, depreciates, and it can buy less. So even though we're making a ton, of, I mean, $14,000 a year compared to $100,000 a year, I mean, that's the amount of inflation is tremendous. Now, from the perspective of the value of the houses, it's also tremendous because you have $30,000 as opposed to $600,000. The time frame is not is large, but not huge, because it's 2 years as opposed to 6 years, so it's 4 years different. That doesn't seem like a lot more, but when you think about it, it's $30,000 to $600,000 and $14,000
right.
to $100,000, it really is a ton of money and a ton of indentured servitude. And you couldn't buy a house if you didn't have some kind of credit background when we moved back here, because you just couldn't, you know. That's how they get you into the pattern. They get you into the mold. You have to follow the rules. You have to follow the what they say, the policies. And if you don't, then you can't participate.
Yeah, you wouldn't dare step outside their little box, or you'll be ridiculed or imprisoned or blacklisted.
Yeah. And they can basically do whatever they want, because all they have to do is pull the money out, because we don't have the gold.
Right. It's just a number typed into a computer.
And, you know, this is another thing that I was going and I got off on a tangent, so I kind of lost the flow of this. But even though it was a $30,000 home, my parents owned their house. That's it. With taxes, we really never own our home. We're always paying off taxes. So even if I paid off my houses, I would still have taxes to pay. And
I mean
the servitude continues and continues and continues.
And you're just paying rent on the land, basically, that's owned by the government. But does the government own the land? No.
Yeah.
But really,
mm-hmm.
But really, then who does it? Is it the corporatocracy? Is it the big banks? Who owns it?
They get those houses, they get them back. For example, the U.S. has had a Great Depression. It was in 1929, which most of everyone knows. I was not living in the country at that time. I was actually living abroad in Spain. And interesting that 16 years after the system was established, the Federal Reserve and the IRS, we have a depression, the Great Depression. And guess what?
Mm-hmm.
We are in a greater depression than the Great Depression.
Yeah.
So what?
It's just that there's a little bit more infrastructure now, so it may seem like it's not as bad. Like, you don't see the roving bands of people trying to find jobs, but they're there.
Yeah.
You know?
No, we go online now. We don't stand outside in a line. We actually go online.
Right.
So you don't. Yeah.
So it's just farther removed, more impersonal, and it it leaves us oblivious to what's really happening around us.
Now, what do you think caused the depression? Do you understand? Because I'm trying to understand. Well, I mean, since we're not using gold and we still have dollars, what creates the depression, basically? What happened?
Well, that depression was created after World War One. That's when these banks were really able to get their mitts into the government, because before then, everything was a monarchy, you know? You had political figures in total control of those things. But when we started democracies and a more socially republic type of government with parliaments and with congresses and stuff like that, it removes the people with the real power away from being figureheads at all. So you don't even see them anymore. So after World War One, they were able to operate in the background and set up this entire pyramid scheme. Mm-hmm. And that's when the Depression occurred, right after they created all these foundations like the IRS and like you were just mentioning. Right after that, they were able to control how much money was worth and how much they printed of it, and were still running in a state of bankruptcy, basically, is what happened. They bankrupted the governments.
Well, and of course, that they withdrew their money. So
right, they withdrew their money, bankrupted the government, and then we had to pay it back.
Exactly. Even though our accounts, actually, this has just happened in Spain last week. Actually, saving program or retirement plan, and these people just invested and had their money in their plan in the bank, and they were entitled, you know, this was intended for their retirement, and I guess the money has been withdrawn by the all-seeing elite, financially elite of the world. I just love using those terms. It makes me feel
right.
So
well, when your account is based on the value of companies, that's subject to change at any moment, yeah, based on what they do with it.
Doesn't it make you feel elite when you say elite? I feel elitist. Anyway,
yeah, that's
joking around, because if you don't joke around, you would get depressed, honestly.
Yeah, right.
And if you really think about it, it's very depressing. But,
yeah, what's real depressing is that everyone was saying that word when Mr. Obama was getting elected, and now look, he doesn't look so elite anymore. The power that we were hoping our president would have, he's unable to do what he said, not because he doesn't want to, he just can't.
Well, it doesn't matter who's the political party that wins.
Right.
Basically, we still have the same people in charge, so we're just playing a little game of pretend, you know, it's part of illusion within the illusion.
Like I was saying, that's what those banks were able to do at the time after World War One, because they supported both sides and escalated the world to a state of total chaos and destruction, and all of Europe was destroyed, basically.
Yes, yes. And you see, these are what I found interesting is in the Thrive, they talk about what has to happen for the total global domination. And they actually pointed out, so everything mentioned in the pyramid above in controlled descent, in other words, they take control. So basically what we discussed about the pyramid, the LCNI, the elite finance organizations, the central governments of the centralized governments, and so on down the line, the IMF, the corporations, and, well, the banks in between, the international banks, of course, and then all of this, you know, it has a benefit because it allows us to interchange products and monies. So, yes, ideally, it would be great to have one type of money, but it mm-hmm. also comes with a great risk and a great disadvantage by everything being centralized. You can basically push a button and delete that person.
Yeah, Esperanza, I think that there is one kind of money now, because whether it's a dollar bill in your hand or that plastic card in your hand,
it works the same.
It gets tracked in the same system, and it doesn't matter what it says on it. It could be a euro. It could be anything.
Yes, and let's go back to the question. What has to happen for total global domination? Everything mentioned in the pyramid, the Patriot Act takes away our rights, the surveillance spy on ordinary citizens, the RFID chips track our every action. Now, we're just briefly going over the information. If you watch the movie, they will go into more detail about how these chips are actually being implanted into people. And the results of, we really don't even know what's going on. At this point, the Internet is not controlled. So we do have one resource, and they haven't figured out how to control it. Can you imagine?
They can still track you on it, though. They can still see everything
you
do on it. They just can't stop you from doing it.
Can you imagine what would happen? I mean, basically, they control the media already. I believe most of it is Democratic. Oriented, with the exception of Fox, and this is my understanding. I don't have any.
When you say Democratic, you mean the political party, the Democrats?
Yeah, they support more the liberal type.
The liberal
of government.
Side. Yeah.
Yeah, Democratic styles. Their Fox, I believe, is more Republican or more conservative. So. They're basically, basically, if we really truly had the ability to elect, the information that we're getting is totally off. I mean, we really don't have good, clear, pure information.
Yeah, you can go on the internet and look up an article or, you know, something that's happened in the world today and find the articles written on it. You'll find five completely different occurrences.
Version. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, but at least the Internet allows you to have different versions. The media doesn't.
Yeah.
It's true.
They'll give you one or two,
at
maybe.
At least you can say, well, this one says this, this one says this makes sense, this does not make sense. So you can kind of wade through the information. But
do your own detective work.
Yeah, you can kind of create your own opinion based on what you read, and, you know, everybody's going to have their opinion. But when you're giving a one-sided story, it's much more difficult because you don't have anything to choose from.
Yeah, and then you really stop trying to choose anything.
Yeah.
You know, and
now one of the
that
other
gives
things
them that much more control over you.
yes, that's true. At this point, the Internet is not in control. So that's one benefit that we have. And I think that if we lose the control of the Internet, we will really be in a bad place. But they are trying to do so and attacking it from all sides. That is true. I mean, government is trying to pass regulations from different countries. Of course, they don't agree because each one wants to control. From here, you can see that very little is left to be done to accomplish the ultimate goal. We are already in the Matrix, per se. So the movie The Matrix, it's kind of a reverse of our situation. And interesting,
right.
It also, in the movie, it talks about the dollar bill. Now, I know you and I have discussed, you know, in our conversations over the years, we've discussed you had explained to me about the All-C&I that's in the dollar bill. And they talk about the dollar bill. And what I find interesting is under the pyramid it says Novus Ordo Seculorum, New Order of World, New World Order. Bluntly, right in front of our faces,
yeah.
Sometimes things are so up front in your face that you do not see it.
Written right on your money.
Yeah. All right, so let's continue. They are so confident and comfortable. Why do you think, you would think, I mean, in the past, in the movie, they discussed this in more detail because, believe it or not, even though we have dedicated 2 hours, we go on off in our own opinions and our own understanding too, outside of everything that's, you know, in addition to what we saw in the movie. But in the movie, they talk about several of the scientists, and there's actually more that I've even heard of, that they criticize and they persecute, like David Icke is one of those people who has been very much sought after and attacked in many ways and ridiculed. Nikola Tesla, without mentioning, and they also discuss how some of these people are actually by coincidence ending up dead. So it's very interesting that now we basically have, obviously, since they don't control the internet, they can't control a lot of this information. But on top of that, you would think that they would try to stop something like this rise. As a matter of fact, the person who did the research, the person who put this movie together, his name is Gamble from Procter & Gamble, which is one of the organizations that has also been involved in some of the foundations, you know, to accomplish the same goal. So we are going to be probably staying on the air for a bit longer until we finish with this. Viewers, we have the great privilege of not having another show following us every other week, so BBS has been considerate and generous to let us continue on this topic, which I would like to hopefully finish today. And I would like to invite you to continue listening if this is something that is of interest to you, and to share it with other people as well. So you're still with me, right?
Yeah.
So basically, why are they not offended? Why are they not trying to prevent by even bringing down the networks? Because these corporations do control the networks that we run the internet on.
Yeah, it's hard to say exactly why things are being done the way they are at this moment, because they've come so far in their domination plan that obviously they know what they're doing. And they've got it under control. So, yeah, the question is, why is this person, Mr. Gamble?
Well, that's the question that comes up in my mind. I mean, let's say, for example, let's address a little bit more the ultimate agenda. What is their agenda? Because, obviously, money is something that they really have already, right?
Right.
I don't know what I could do with $300 trillion, but I could do a lot of things. That's for sure.
Well, and see, that's the thing, is that that's just what would be in their combined accounts. They don't even need to use that money. They could just use yours.
That's right. Why would you bother? You don't need to, right? And there's more coming in. And not only that, but I can spend your money, and I can throw it away, too, because that happens. A lot of things go to waste, unfortunately. But let's see, what could be the agenda? The agenda, based on what the movie says, is nothing less than total global domination. Now, you're not hearing it from me, people. This is from the movie The Thrive by one of the members of the Procter & Gamble family. And I have to say, he's done a lot of research, and he goes into that. He's done incredible stuff, research on free energy, which is, actually, that's not something that the current energy corporations want to address, because it takes them down. It takes away from their profit margins, does it not, or am I wrong?
Well, I don't know if anything could do that, but what it would do is shake up their current structure. They would have to adapt some things. If they were going to take control of it, they would have to adapt. And believe me, they would try to take control of it immediately. And I believe the movie mentions a lot of people that have invented devices like that, that can actually beam energy straight through the air. So you wouldn't need any wires. That metal that makes wires would no longer be of value. And we wouldn't need gas stations anymore. Everything would have its own power source directly on it, beamed through the air. So, yeah, it would take away a lot of their infrastructure and what they have to charge us for.
And
believe me, I'm sure they could find a way around that.
Most importantly, it would take away their power, and that's really what they want. Because in reality, and I know that they don't address this in the movie, but it all boils down to the foundation of all things, which is spirituality. And we have, whether people believe it or not, there are the fallen hierarchies. That's why we do exorcism, because there are fallen hierarchies, people. Sorry if some people get offended, but that's just the fact. And there's more possession or manipulation of people through other people and direct or indirect possession than most of you believe. And the interesting thing is, based on my spiritual guides, there's more possession up in the government power structures than there is in the bottom, because guess what these beings crave, these dark entities, they crave power. And I'm not telling you this to scare you. I'm telling you this because it's important that you are aware. Once you understand what you're up against, then you can protect yourself. When you know there's a problem, you can correct it. If you do not know that there is a problem, you cannot correct it. You cannot do anything about it. So at
the
end...
Right, and everyone, that makes everyone a risk. Every single person around you can be a risk, and that makes people paranoid. But I mean, don't think that it's just the common person that's at risk, because, and I don't want to name any names, but you can look at every president throughout history. Once they're inaugurated, they change into another person. I mean, when they come back out after hearing all the secrets and all the things that are going on in the world today, they look like they've seen a ghost. That's the most frightened face I've ever seen on a person, is right after the president learns everything that's really happening.
Well, and that's interesting, too, because that brings up another subject, and that is the classified projects and the black ops, and that nobody hears about, but they exist regardless of what many people believe. And interesting enough, a lot of people think, oh, you know, this is, again, conspiracy, because we don't know what's going on. We don't believe that it's happening, but it is. And a lot of money is being sucked into those programs, and we don't know. If we don't know, we can't hold people accountable. So in the movie, they talk about some of the organizations that are in place, or one of the largest organizations that is in place, to bring all this stuff out into the light, the disclosure of all these so-called classified, because of protection of the homeland for security purposes. A lot of it is for more than protection, and it's for more than security purposes. It's for people to be able to do as they please with the power they're given. Absolute power corrupts absolutely, and that is a fact, and there's no way around it. This is the ultimate agenda is global domination. We agreed on that, right?
Yeah.
I wanted to share a quote that they talk about in the movie. It's by an anonymous person. It says, when an honest man discovers he is mistaken, he will either cease being mistaken or cease being honest. That is, unfortunately, you either, and I've heard this expression many times, you either join them, or what happens?
It's you're either with them or against them.
Against them. And there's, we live in a duality existence, in a world of duality, so that those are the only two alternatives. Thank God that the transition, ascension of our planet is coming, and we are getting rid of this. All this garbage, all this junk, all this chaos that is duality and opposites and all of this. Thank God we live in an age of hope. Thank God that you and I have the ability to make the difference. And this is the ultimate purpose of the Research Center for Inner Awareness, RCIA, New Consciousness, New World. And that's the purpose of the radio show. Also, that's the purpose of this movie and this organization. Now,
because we don't have any other way to fight against them. In fact, fighting against them is what they want, because that just allows them to take your rights immediately. So we really need to wake up. Everyone needs to become aware of what's really happening, And what's more important is what's really happening to them inside on an individual basis, spiritually and emotionally.
Yeah. And you know, that brings us to another thing that they create, basically, they talk about the educational system and how it's set up, the medical system and how it's set up. And it's not intended necessarily for the purpose of healing or getting rid of the maladies that we originally had, the imbalances. It, in a lot of cases, is intended to perpetuate those things. As sad as it may sound, the intent might have been a good one, but unfortunately that didn't happen. And it explains why it didn't happen. Do you remember that part of the movie?
Yeah.
I like to share this quote with the audience from Dave Icke, the greatest prison facing people today. I think this is so true. And even though I addressed this issue many years ago when I was much younger, I find myself still not completely clear of this issue. And I think most of you, if you think about it, if you look at yourself, if you look at your life, you'll find that this is true. And this is how they are able to control us. This is how they maintain us in the square pegs, even if we're round. It says, is the fear of others, it is what others, pardon me, let me start over. This is the fear of what others might think. When you recognize this, it is only then that you recognize what a prison you lived in before. So I'll repeat it again. It is the fear of what others might think that is our greatest prison, because we worry. We are taught in schools, we are taught in our environment, we are taught through our family that there's a certain way of behavior that is acceptable, and there's a certain way of behavior that's not acceptable. And people who fit in with or flow in with a crowd are okay. People who are individuals and don't flow with a crowd, now by that I'm not referring to mass murderers, okay, or terrorists or anything of that sort. I'm not referring to violence. I'm referring to just thinking differently or perceiving things differently or dressing differently or talking differently or looking
right.
differently.
And the main way to make the difference is to stop blaming something outside of yourself. Because when you blame
yes.
something outside of yourself, you'll never see what the true problem is.
Well, yes, but by blaming, by being afraid of what others think, we keep ourselves in the square peg. Okay,
mm-hmm.
We keep ourselves in the box. We don't go outside of the box. And even though the corporations are very good at telling you, think outside the box. Be creative. Yes. As long as you stay within the box that's outside of
that's
the other
safe.
Box. Yeah. Yeah. As long as you do that, you're good. Okay? Just keep that in mind. When you stop really going outside the second or third or fourth box, then you got a real problem. The world is being divided into super states. So that's another way, obviously, that they would obviously control. Now, I know that Europe, since I've lived there many years, and I'm originally from there, even though now I'm an American citizen, they do have the European Union, and that is a form of centralization of the power. Now, the United States already did that many years ago when they took the states and created a humongous country. And in that, you have Russia, for example, and you have China, who's also very large. So there is obviously a visible, clear benefit to organizing and centralizing. There's also a humongous danger and a humongous disadvantage. And that is the problem. If we were in a perfect world, I'd say go for it. It's the best thing we can do. And we will do it. But right now, the purpose is not necessarily the best purpose. So let's see. For example, Europe has the United Nations. Africa has the African Union. America falls under the Security and Prosperity Partnership. Yes, you and me, basically. plan for an American Union have been tried and not succeeded yet. Pacific Union is already in progress. See the chart for the global tyranny. So again, if you go to the website, probably, I don't know, two-thirds of the page down under Ultimate Agenda, you will see, not a pyramid because they're in little cubes, so you don't really create the pyramid, but the pyramid is basically the layout. And in a way, you could say that this is a reverse pyramid because there's a few at the top. Or actually, no, it's not a reverse. There's, you know, the top, and then there's us at the bottom. So you have the world government, which would be regulating the unions, and you have the Pacific Union, the American Union, the African Union, European Union. National states and regions would fall under these unions, and then under the states and regions would be us, the people. Us, the people.
And that's the structure for complete control.
That's world, the structure for complete control. One of our greatest mistakes is to, now this is something that I think is the key why people do not believe in the conspiracy theory. Now, I'm not saying I believe 100% it, but I know there's something not right. I do know that. If I can admit to at least that, I think I'm taking a big step. So one of our greatest mistakes is to believe, how many of you have said this, that the government is incompetent and that the world domination cannot occur because they're incompetent. There's no
right way.
Come on, people. You got to be nuts to believe this conspiracy stuff.
Oh, yeah. I mean, their government is stupid. Obviously, they make all these promises and they're never able to keep them, right?
Well, yes, and they're not able to solve. Come on, you're not able to solve. You have the most brilliant minds in the world working for you, or if they're not working for you, it's because you don't want them there, because I've seen a lot of incompetent people, whether in corporations or in other places, and sometimes I've been one of those incompetent people too, you know? I'm not perfect.
Yeah.
Knows that.
You know, I think that at one time or another, every single person that hears something political is going to at one time say, wow, what a bunch of idiots.
Yes.
And even though they don't even really know what's happening. We don't really know what's really happening, so we just blame them.
Yes. And this is the thing that that people don't understand. Again, the fallen hierarchies, the archons, for example, these people are sometimes controlled, manipulated by these beings that are not necessarily interested in the benefit of men. They don't want men to succeed. They don't want men to recover the knowledge of their divinity, the understanding of who we truly are, a divine being created by God with incredible, magnificent gifts that we have been fooled into believing we don't have. And we've been
right, and that free will that we've been given, that means it's our responsibility.
That is the key. To me, all the other stuff is relevant and it's related. The bottom line is free will, which is a God-given gift, and no one can take it away from you. The only way a person can get it from you is by you freely giving it or allowing fear to possess you. Well, by possessing, I don't mean like a demon or anything like that. I just mean fear taking over control, stress. I mean, how many
of your life?
Yeah. We worry about our livelihood. We worry about our jobs. We worry about the financial means we have. We worry about our families. We worry about taking care of our you know, families, our children, our parents, whatever. And we are too concerned about what's going to happen. And then we allow ourselves to be manipulated, and we give in. That is giving away our power. That is what separates us from the divinity that we are, the ultimate goal. And that is what we're fighting for, people. That's really the
And we're all guilty of doing that.
Yeah, I have to raise my hand to that one.
You wanna keep your job? You better stay in that box. You wanna keep your house? you better stay in that box. You want to drive your car? They'll take your license if you don't stay in the box.
Well, you have to, if you want to be part of the ruling classes. Now, I'm not saying everybody who has money necessarily has evil intent. Obviously, you see this member of the Gamble family, you know, very proactive, and he mentions in there that not everyone is aware, not everyone understands what's going on. It is the heads of the families that are really controlling the situation. Some of the people, some of the other family members may not even know what's going on for whatever reason, because they would not go along with the plan or whatever. Whatever the reason, I'm not saying everybody with money is bad. I believe there's a lot of wonderful people who have money. They're just not the ruling, all-seeing, centralized financial elite. There's a big difference with having millions of dollars and having $300 trillion, people. I thought billion was as far as we got so far, and I was like, wow, some people have $100 billion. Wow, that's a lot of money. And now I find out about trillions. My mind is just expanding like a balloon. I'm like, whoa. My concept of filthy rich is expanding exponentially.
Yeah, it's just like when Marco Polo came back to Europe after seeing China. When he said numbers that were millions, people didn't believe him. You know, when he said that there was millions of this and millions of that, they're like, oh, you're living in a fantasy world. There's nothing on this earth that exists like that.
Yeah. And you know, the interesting thing is the structure they're creating is a very simple structure, because, again, it has to be centralized. So in the movie, people, now you may not like this. You are not going to like this, I can tell you right off. But this is mentioned in the movie. Again, I'm just stating for what it's worth. I believe in informing people. Then people have the right to make their own decisions and decide for themselves. What I don't like is, not allowing the information to be provided to people so they cannot understand what's going on, so they cannot see for themselves. And one of the things they say is, well, we do not know that this is a part of the greater plan for our own enslavement. Those in power who play along will be part of the ruling, controlling classes. So if you're a good boy, they'll pat you on the head. To succeed, it has a simple structure to work. If you look at all the organizations, they are structured as a pyramid. There is the need-to-know system only. Only let people know to make their contribution and no more, because if they don't know, they cannot do anything about it. And it is precisely because of this that we have this show. But this show is not going to be dedicated to this forever, okay? We're not interested in this. This is just for your information.
Sometimes it takes a bit of a kick for people to become interested, and then once they wake up, they're living in a whole new world the next day. And that's what we're all about, the new consciousness for a new world.
Yes. So who's next on the menu? This is one of the things that they say. The goal of the global elite is to bring down the financial strength and sovereignty of the U.S. The U.S. represents the greatest obstacle to this plan, with a history of free speech and fight for freedom. Here is where what I mentioned in my book, Hope Reigns Beyond 2012, comes into context. Any country who allies itself with the U.S. will have a chance of surviving. So, friends, we are next on the menu. But I'm not ready to be served, people. I am not ready. I may be chubby at this point. I'm working on getting thinner, but I'm not ready to be served. I'm going to make myself as skinny as possible so they cannot serve me. Are you? We, the American people, we the people, represent the one major hurdle to global power. If we allow them to succeed, we will become part of their power and production system, serving the elite. And one of the other things they mention in the movie is the fact that this means the loss of, well, of course, this, like we said earlier, this means the loss of free will, which is our God-given right. Now, is there any doubt at this point that the fallen hierarchies don't exist, and or the elite? Well, you know, I have to say you still have questions, but there is a lot of interesting information also out there.
There's always questions, but what I do know is that every day my free will is challenged. I have to decide whether I agree with what society puts in front of me or I don't. And if I don't agree, I should probably be careful what I say, you know, and it makes you worry about stuff like that. And we really...
That's exactly what they do. That's what we've been taught. You get us... They don't have to lift a finger, people, to bring us back into line. All they have to do is depend on us bringing us into line. We ostracize each other when we don't fall into the box.
Right, because they run, and they're able to run on this disguise, the disguise being that people need to be taken care of because they can't take care of themselves. So we basically give up our free will and allow them to take care of us.
And this is the interesting thing that, again, people may not believe, but we bailed out the banks. What has that served the people? We, the people. How has that served us? Nothing. One of the things they mentioned in the movie is the bailing out of banks is not something we should participate in. We should try in every way within what we can, without violence, within nonviolence, I should say. We should try to do everything in our power to affect the people that provide the legislation, that write the policies. I just found out about a week or two ago that in Spain, they want to bail out the government. Now, Spain, the previous government, basically left Spain bankrupt, okay? Bankrupt. And I mean very bad situation, very bad. And what has happened now, they're trying to bail out the banks by $19 billion. And this government, in the past, has taken the country from a very negative red financial debt to green and black, okay? So I know that they can do a lot of things. However, bailing the banks is not the solution. It is the money.
Yeah, you know, and I heard, Esperanza, that it's the same people that are going to be in control there that did it here. The people that orchestrated that bailout, they got fired.
Yes.
We had to, you know, because then their names became known, so they had to be fired, all those CEOs and presidents. But then our own CIA and government agencies rehired them to use it as a weapon on others.
Yeah, that's true. So when they know something works, they apply it. For example, in the movie, they talk about the successful experiment of China. Being a successful experiment, and you can figure out that for yourself what that would mean if that is the case. I'm not trying to put words into anybody or thoughts into anybody, but I'd like to mention this from my notes. We are so much in debt that we can never repay it. Can you imagine paying back $300 trillion? Well, actually, that was not how much we lent the banks, but we have to pay back the money that they took from us and that they're now keeping to themselves, and they're not providing us with loans. If we had the money, we would be able to repay our loans. We would be able to...
Yeah, and you, Esperanza, have you seen $1 of that money that they were supposed to loan out to everyone?
Well, I like to see the gold instead of the dollar. I'm not so trusting anymore about the dollar. I'd rather have...
No, but seriously, gold. I know that you've tried to refinance things before, and what did they say? They said no, can't.
No, because you don't qualify anymore, okay? You don't qualify anymore. And the interesting thing is that the credit bureaus are set up so that anybody that has credit, I think it's interesting that a person with more assets than another is not allowed credit, but a person who has no assets whatsoever, they're allowed maybe 3 times, 4 times, or even 20 times more credit than someone else. So, I mean,
because they want to get them into the system so that they can start indenturing them.
Let's get those suckers into the system. because we are running out. and part of it is that, and this is something that they mention in the movie. This is something that you don't want to hear, but they say it in the movie. And I'm going to just share it with you. Then you think whatever you want. It is your, I believe in informing. Then you have the right to make up your own mind. That is what we're about. We're not about telling you what to think. We're about sharing information, sharing the light of God, and sharing the chaos, the darkness, the dysfunction that surrounds us that we have created. So they talk about how we are basically to, in order to control the population, it has to be reduced. And in the Bible, it does talk about two-thirds of the population surviving only, okay? So let's talk about that. Two-thirds of the population, that means they're going to have to get rid of one entire third of the population. And I know that this is not going to happen by them necessarily taking or putting their hands into it. Basically, it's already happening a bit. There's a lot more violence. There's a lot more domestic violence because the energy flowing into our planet currently allows us to manifest. It's a much higher vibration. So now we don't have the safeties like you have on a gun to protect you from pulling the trigger. And so we are able to manifest more easily the fears, the intimidation, the weaknesses that we have. We're more able to manifest that, and we create more chaos through meditation. And we are going to get into this, because this is the focus of everything we're trying to do, through meditation, through spirituality, through focusing on the positiveness, the light, and all the messages that God is providing through his enlightened beings, through his teachers, through his masters. All of this is intended to help us in these moments. So we need to understand the darkness, but we need to grab a hold of the light and retain that, and then manifest that, changing our individual person and changing the world as a whole. And it is through the balance, through the mind control of our own minds, not others, through that way is how we're going to triumph, because we are called to triumph. There's no other option. This is a natural process. You can't go against nature no matter how hard you try. You can slow it down, but you will never stop it. Okay. Did you want to add anything to this? We're almost done, so I just want to share that. But I did want to touch a little bit on the collapsing of, obviously, the dollar. We discussed that. We talked about excuse the world will probably facilitate, you know, the commerce. I would agree that having one single currency would facilitate the, you know, for our interchange and exchange and import and export of goods. Unfortunately, it comes with such a great risk, and I don't believe the people who are up in the ladder have the best interest of we the people in mind.
We the people are going to have to go along with this new world government, but we can do our best so that as the world unites and the people wake up, that we really can coexist together harmoniously on this planet and no longer underneath the chaotic structures that they've imposed on us. Because to be honest, we don't need them. We can take care of ourselves. It is possible to take care of yourself. And if we all agree to do that,
because they are above us, they think they know better, and that's why they feel like it is their duty, their God-given right to dictate to us what we have to do. And it will be dictated to us, believe it or not. It will get to that. But you know what? When it gets to that, it means that we are so much closer to getting away from that permanently. We will not go through this illusion again. You had talked to me about that. So if you want to elaborate a little bit more about the illusion
Well, it may get a little worse before it gets better, but there are things that are going to occur in the very near future that are going to be forced in front of our faces, and we're not going to be able to say, oh, I don't believe that anymore. Everything will be made apparent, and the truths will be revealed. So the people are going to be given the direct choice to wake up or to continue living in fantasy land.
Yeah. And that's one of the reasons why I wrote the book, and this is a summary. There will be more detail, and I know I have to get going already on my second book, so I've already taken some notes and things because I've gotten some information for that. But we are given this information for a purpose. We're given this information for a reason. We are not to be ostriches sticking our heads in the sand. We are not to turn away pretending we don't understand, that we're too little. That's what they're trying to make us believe, and that's not true. You are given the same knowledge, the same gifts as anybody else. You have the divine essence of God within you. God is encoded in your DNA. How can you be inferior to someone else? You cannot. You cannot. So, and they also talk about the climate changes, which I like to talk about, because, you know, the Earth is reflecting our own issues, our own energy imbalances. There are so many of us on the planet, and our energy is impacting everything around us. We impact each other by our interaction with each other. So we need to make that interaction a positive, healthy, healing, and not hold negativity within. That is why it's so important that we focus. We understand the problem, but we focus on the solution. 25%. Anthony Robbins talks about focusing 25% on the problem, 75% on the solution. And we are going to be finishing, so we will not be touching on the solution a lot, because I want you to address that yourself. Okay, we've given you information. Now you have to put, if you're really interested, if you really want to know what's going on, if you want to think for yourself instead of having us tell you how to think, then you need to listen to it for yourself. And then make up your own mind. Don't just say, oh, yeah, they're right, or no, they're totally bananas. We could be one way or the other. But I don't think that you can reach that conclusion until you hear what is being said, and this is spreading like fire. So, again, we are impacting our environment through our own chaotic interior thoughts, our own fears, our own emotions. And the energy is so powerful and so strong right now. So it's hard not to hold back. People don't understand why they lose control. Well, because they don't have the ability to control the energy that's being channeled into, well, or I should say being brought down through the hierarchies of light, through the beams of light, through the angels, through God himself or herself, you know, whatever you prefer. I don't like the duality issue here. So it's important to address all of this. And let's say, under the climate changes pretend, international taxes are being proposed. Now, we're paying taxes for food. We're paying taxes we're paying everything, basically utilities, everything we use. The only thing we're paying for water, the only thing left to pay for is the air we breathe. And since there's pollution, guess what's next on the menu of taxes? Well, the climate
now. Yeah, I think you're right. You're going to have to start paying taxes on your air.
Yeah, because pretty soon we won't be able to breathe. It's just like we can't drink the water. It has to be filtered. And we're paying more, and we're paying more. And every time they just keep adding it, we're, you know, like a little mule, just carrying along, busy, carrying our load. And I know, I'm sorry, but that, when I say that, it comes to mind a paraphrase from Spain where you load up the mule with sardines, so many sardines, that just one more tiny sardine basically kills the mule, because sardine upon sardine, it adds up, people. Even if they're tiny, there's too much waste. You just can't deal with it. And we're reaching that point. We are reaching that point because they will not stop. They will not. So, and they will not create the change. We are responsible for that change. We are, we have the ability, we have the power to change ourselves, to change the
keto. So we can either let them dictate what changes we make, or we get to dictate what changes we make.
Exactly. Well, not dictate. I wouldn't call it dictate, but at least you have the freedom that God
to allow the changes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's see. So you create a problem. So basically, they're using the pretense of international taxes are being proposed. So as so pollution is the scapegoat to levy the people more taxes and create greater debt. To do this openly would create a reaction. So you create a problem solution. You use terrorism. Now, they specifically talk about the terrorism. I don't want to go there. I don't want to talk about the specific organizations that or specific things that they consider part of it. But, you know, again, you will listen to the movie. You will talk for it yourself. The government collapse, monetary collapse. You tell the people we did it. And why? Media is the feed for this information. Create fear to get the people who are crying out for protection against this monster. Create the fear. So now, step two, provide a solution to the problem they created in the first place. These are called false flag operations. That's what they're called in military.
False flag operations? Yeah, I've heard of that.
Yeah. And yeah, well, you saw the movie. You should have heard of it. you should have heard of it. That's correct. Create fear. So basically, this is how it works. They create the fear that there is pollution. They create taxes to solve the problem. And you do this openly. Security.
Yeah, I mean, but do you really think buying that carbon offset is going to help you breathe better?
Well, and that's just one of the issues. There's the issue of in the airports. I mean, granted, nobody wants terrorism. Nobody wants those kind of things. But, I mean, the level of scrutiny that we're being submitted to in an airport is a bit ridiculous. Now, I don't have a problem with it because I rather feel safe, but is it really that much of an issue? Is it really? Necessary?
Yeah, and the amount of resources it wastes, and the amount of fear it causes, and the amount of time that it wastes.
Hey, I don't mind the time, but the resources...
It's just another exertion of control that they put on you.
Yeah, okay. You tell the people who did it and why. You create a problem. You tell them somebody else did it. And then you have the media inform them. So now the people are afraid, and they're saying, help us, please. Create the solution, step two, to the problem they created in the first place. These are called false flag operations. More people believe that, well, I'm not going to say, well, actually I will say it, okay? They say that now more people in the movie, they say that more people are believing that 9/11, September 11th, was a false flag operation intended to take over the Middle East oil supply and dismantle constitutional rights. All they have to do is figure us as a finger of suspect for their war on terrorism, and we can be imprisoned, tortured, kidnapped with no cause as part of their war on terror. How is that real terror? What is the real terror, I would ask here? I mean, are you still there, or have I lost you?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay.
I just don't. I don't really want to discuss terrorism at all.
Yeah, I don't. This is a very controversial topic. But you know what? We need to discuss these things. It's controversial, but we need to, you know, say this. There is this possibility. You can take it for whatever, but at least know about it. And you know that it exists.
Yeah. People can find out this information for themselves. It's all over the Internet.
Yeah.
And they can make their own decisions.
Yeah. Now, they've outlined in the movie, they outlined the series of steps that need to take place, and this is what they're saying. All is already in place for a police state. We are relegated to areas for free speech. Now, I thought it was interesting talking about areas for free speech. That, I mean, if you register a riot, a peaceful, balanced riot, that, you know, you should be able to protest. Well, you saw what happened in Los Angeles, what happened in London and UK with these riots that they had, you know. And people were treated like criminals when they were very peacefully trying to express their opinion. This has never happened before. I've seen rioters before, and they burned cars. I've seen them in Spain when we had a situation where the government changed over from the dictatorship that we had with Franco to the a more liberal type of government. Now, I have to say that there was a lot less violence during the dictatorship, and as long as you played the game, you were not disturbed, you were not hurt in any way, shape, or form. But those people who were not as lucky, you know, they suffered the consequences. And this is seeming to scale a little bit in this direction, even though I would not compare. But now these were people who were rioting, who they were taking cars that were parked in the streets, you know, cars that belonged to other people just like them, and they were burning them. They were setting them on fire and putting them in the middle of the street so that police cars could not pass, or to create just disturbance, to create chaos and create anger and fear. And, you know, I don't agree with that either. I don't agree with violence. Violence is not the spiritual way. Violence is not the way to solve anything. So, anyway. But let's continue. Let's continue a little bit more with the show, and let's finish with the reading of this. Now, again, this is not my personal opinion. This is, again, what is being discussed and addressed in the movie, okay? I'm just sharing information with you. All election info is collected, archived, and can be inspected as needed at any time. Our ID has computer chips implanted to check our, that's our driver's license, to check our every move. Mm-hmm. Hospitals are now implanting chips initially to track their products. And guess what? One of the companies that is organizing is Procter & Gamble, the company that who the person who did this research is a member of this family and of this organization. I'm assuming he's a member of the organization. I don't know that for a fact. They manufacture these chips, and he basically talks about that. It's a fact. It is always offered as a way to help. Our phone provides our information to the police, the CIA and the FBI, and many cell phone companies are actually selling this information with the intent of catching criminals, okay? However, again, it can turn against us. Not necessarily, but if we just accidentally step outside the line, people, we're in.
And it's set up there already, so it makes it very easy for them.
Yeah. There have been a lot of organizations or places that have already been prepared for large groups of people to be held. So that makes you kind
of
wonder.
Under the guise of FEMA.
Yeah.
And they call them, what, refugee camps?
Well,
or natural disasters?
Well, they could very well be, because we're going to have a lot of natural disasters, I can tell you that much. However, again, the government cannot control all of its arms, and people will be people, unfortunately, you know. And
I think they have enough set up right now to hold 800,000 people.
Yeah. The organization, the Thrive Movement, is basing their organization or their activities in Aikido, nonviolence movement, way of harmony, blends with the energy of all attacker, redirecting it to the peaceful resolution, the path of non-aggression, the zero point. This is the Thrive Movement. It will not go into the solution aspect. I will not go into the solution aspect of the movie. I leave that for you again, so we're done. You to watch and figure out for yourself. Just know that solutions are the best part, and I highly recommend that. This is important to know. The important thing, again, is 75% of our focus, of our energy, is directed at the solution, and that's what you want to see. That's what you need to understand. If this seems negative to you, then the more reason to watch the last part. It's a three-part movie, and you've heard two parts. Now, get the last part. We are Research Center for Inner Awareness, RCIA. Our focus is to help to change the world for the better for all of us. New consciousness, new world. Learn to quiet the noise and connect with your own inner guidance. As we quiet the noise, we amplify the inner signal, the energy. We can better hear the voice that naturally, maturely knows and offers wise direction. This is the driver, the inner life. Our inner life needs to be in synchronicity with what we do in our outer world, what we speak, what we say, what we do. Again, if you want to understand how we can counter these effects through nonviolence, find out how. Check the movie. It's www.thrivemovement.com. Now, we've made a radio show of almost 3 hours out of a 2-hour and 12-minute movie. Now, that is incredible. Anything else that you would like to leave our audience with?
Well, I think about that last statement, what it's really speaking about is the subconscious mind. What does it say? Our inner life needs to be in synchronicity with what we do in our outer world. So
yes,
what that means
our
is we need to walk the talk,
basically.
Right. And we need to be aware of what we're thinking inside and not allow ourselves to have any more subconscious mind.
To be aware of what's going on.
Yeah, to be aware. And that's what the Research Center for Inner Awareness is all about, is to bring that awareness.
And it's to share the techniques, methods for you to connect and to think for yourself, to connect with the divine essence that you are, to lift the veil and to recognize where you come from, who you truly are, what your ultimate purpose is in life, and to make your life worth living and what was intended for when you came here, when you incarnated. So if you don't have any other things to bring up, I will say goodbye to our audience and wish them a wonderful, peaceful, balanced week. And we hope to hear from you again next Tuesday.
And we will see you then. Thank you.